Good evening and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Saturday, April 28th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair to recap day three of the 2018 NFL Draft. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Follow the work over at InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, and a host of other places. You can also see the quarterback work, the video stuff at YouTube.com/InsideThePylon. And folks, we made it. We made it to the end of the 2018 draft, and looking around, all the notes in front of me ready to talk about the players the Patriots drafted today. But first things first, I think. Time to open an adult beverage. It's actually Perrier-flavored water, kids. It's still early. And I'm working here. So you're going to be at the top of your game. Were the Patriots at the top of their game today, working their way through rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft? Well, we'll take a couple of years to find out. But let's dive into the players they drafted the Patriots, despite being on the clock early in the fourth round. Many of us, myself included, expected them to perhaps draft Kyle Lauletta with that first pick of the day. It was a morning and early afternoon filled with trades down. Patriots moving down multiple times in the fourth round until they finally traded out of the fourth round completely. It was not until the fifth round, the sixth pick in the fifth round, pick 143 overall, that the Patriots finally made a selection on day three. Juwan Bentley, linebacker from Purdue University. And I wrote up a quick blurb on him over at LockedOnPatriots.com, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on him. My first exposure to Mr. Bentley was at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, where he wore the number 0, which I thought was an interesting little factoid to pass along. Now, look, he's a two-down thumper type guy. He's aggressive, stout versus the run, takes very good angles, both whether he's play side or backside, you know, depending on the flow of the play in front of him. He's an interesting linebacker. Is he the type of linebacker I thought that the Patriots were going to target in this draft? I'm not so sure. You know, I think when you watch him, he's got the ability to play against the run. He's a two-down thumper type of a linebacker. Quick to keen diagnose on running plays. Like I said, takes good angles, whether play side or backside. Has good upper body strength to stack and shed blockers in the hole or at the point of attack. Interestingly enough, when we studied him over at Inside the Pylon, he did not make our draft guide. He was not one of the players we graded highly enough to make the draft guide. But we still studied him and had multiple reports on him. We found that he could also be used on passing downs as a sub-package interior rusher or blitzer. If there's a weakness on him, you know, it is with respect to the passing game, and it's in terms of man coverage. He's not the most athletic linebacker, so there are some times where he struggles staying with running backs, staying with tight ends in man coverage situations. But if you're looking to sort of add some depth, if you're looking at perhaps an Alandon Roberts upgrade, I think they got that in Juwan Bentley. Is it the type of linebacker, again, that we expected them to get, that we expected them to sort of covet in this draft? Probably not. But if you can upgrade at that sort of, you know, Mike middle linebacker spot over Alandon Roberts, I think the Patriots got that. They addressed linebacker again, surprisingly enough, in the sixth round with their fourth pick, with the fourth pick in the sixth round, pick 178 overall, Christian Sam, linebacker from Arizona State University. And Sam, again, more of a Mike heavy linebacker type. Look, Tom Meade, who studied him for us and Inside the Pylon, described him as a heavy inside linebacker that could stand to take on blocks better in the hole. But he provides versatility in his ability against the run, in zone coverage, and underneath man coverage. So while he's sort of a stouter backer, 6'1", 244, he's a bit more athletic. Showed some flexibility to be able to stay on the field in third down situations, shows good awareness in zone coverage. As Tom wrote, he gets solid depth on his drop within the hook curl area with good change of direction to get downhill to pass plays in front of him. He's able to redirect crossing routes while keeping his eyes on the quarterback. He's capable of being a spy on the quarterback to contain any running attempts. This almost sounds, in a sense to me, like sort of like a Marquise Flowers type, that they might be looking to upgrade over Marquise Flowers. Again, that you key on that phrase there, the capability of spying the quarterback to contain running attempts. Remember, in the division round playoff, that's how they used Flowers against Marcus Mariota at times. Strengths and weaknesses on Sam. Strengths: athletic ability, play speed, keen diagnose, range pursuit, and toughness. Weaknesses: football intelligence. He'll need to sort some stuff out there. Play strength, gap fitting, coverage, and tackling. So while the man coverage might be, you know, not the best trait on him, I still think you get enough there. So, you know, these two linebacker picks, not sort of the players that I had in mind for the Patriots when they looked to, you know, addressing linebacker. Looking back at my notes on, you know, some of the linebackers I was thinking about in the middle rounds, you know, Fred Warner, you know, Malik Jefferson I've talked about, Shaquem Griffin, Josie Jewell, Tigre Scales, Jason Kabinda. You know, I had sort of a two-down thumper type in Kabinda in mind, but more in the seventh round. So in Bentley and Sam, they get some nice pieces at the linebacker spot. Not the guys I would have expected, but we'll see how it plays out. Up next, we're going to talk about two players that I did sort of expect the Patriots to perhaps be in on in this draft, as well as, well, they got a quarterback. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now, talking about what the Patriots did on day three of the 2018 NFL draft. And I want to go back in time for a bit. I want to go back in time to a tired man, just back after a week down in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, trying to sort things out, going through his notes, putting together some content. And as he goes through his notes, he keeps coming back to a name that he's underlined a couple of times, some notes that he's written there in his notepad about how this player flashed on some things, did some things that he thought made some sense for the New England Patriots. And it was in my first LockedOnPatriots.com piece recapping the Senior Bowl that I mentioned Isaiah Wynn, who the Patriots did draft, you know, 23rd overall, and Braxton Berrios, the wide receiver from Miami. And if you've been listening to this show, if you've been seeing the mock drafts over at dailymockdraft.com, it seemed like near the end of every mock, I kept coming back to Braxton Berrios, wide receiver, Miami. And wouldn't you know it, sixth round, pick 36 in the sixth round, pick 210 overall, Braxton Berrios. It happened. Pat myself on the back as we speak. And I liked Braxton Berrios down in Mobile. I said it when I recorded the, you know, the recap show and the write-up that I did over at LockedOnPatriots.com, which you can go check out. I tweeted it out again today. I thought he made perfect sense for the Patriots as the potential slot guy that they're going to need a year or two from now. You know, obviously with Danny Amendola moving on, maybe there's an important need for him sooner rather than later. I said throughout this entire draft process that slot was going to be a position that they would address. And they did, and they did it with the guy that I thought. And look, he can probably carve out a role for this team in, you know, multiple receiver sets. Even though it is a crowded wide receiver room, he does the kind of stuff that the Patriots rely on in their offense, that they in part build their offense around. And let's not forget, he can be a returner on special teams right away. Kick returns, punt returns. He can come in and do that week one as a rookie. So I'm very excited about this pick. I'm very excited about the Berrios pick because of the potential that he brings to the Patriots right out of the gate. And similar to when we talked about Juwan Bentley, he didn't make the ITP draft guy, but it didn't mean we went without looking at him and studying him. And looking at reports that we have in on him right now, he was described as a guy that can start as a wide receiver at the slot. You know, got a huge increase in playing time last season at Miami. Positives on him: play speed, quickness, intelligence, agility, and toughness. Obviously, size and, you know, his release versus the press, those are some weaknesses on him. He did struggle when he faced press coverage down at the Senior Bowl. But if you're looking at him as a slot type guy, that's somebody you can move around pre-snap. You can get him in a free release type situation. You can use him in stack slots, like similar to how they use Julian Edelman. I think this is a great pick, and I kept thinking it was going to be that first pick in the seventh round. They did it, you know, in the sixth round. So they valued him slightly higher than I did, perhaps. So I'm very excited about this pick. It's one of those picks that, yeah, you know, I was calling this one for a while. A lot of people were calling this one for a while. Even down in Mobile, every time he made a play, people would turn and look at me and just give that knowing nod, like, yeah, he's going to be a Patriot, isn't he? You could just get the sense of Braxton Berrios was going to end up on the New England Patriots roster somehow, and it happened. So very excited about the Braxton Berrios pick. The next one is the moment that people were waiting for. Throughout the entire draft, everyone, myself included, thought Patriots were going to be in on a quarterback at some point. We thought, you know, maybe it would be Kyle LaLetta. But it's not LaLetta. The Patriots decide to pass on LaLetta, and he goes to the New York Giants. LaLetta going to the Giants with the 8th pick in the 4th round. Mike White was a name that had been linked to the Patriots. He comes off the board in the 5th round to the Dallas Cowboys, which I kind of like that fit. I'll get into more into the other quarterback stuff probably in a later show. Luke Falk, a name many people linked to the New England Patriots. People went as far, Mel Kiper included, as describing Luke Falk as perhaps the next Tom Brady. Well, he goes, interestingly enough, to the Tennessee Titans at pick 199, like the aforementioned Brady. A couple picks later, Tanner Lee goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a player I was not that high on. Lee was, you know, quarterback, I think he was 18, or yeah, he was quarterback 18 for me. Tanner Lee coming off the board there. Alex Magoo, he comes off the board right after the pick that the Patriots make with that first pick in the 7th round where they addressed a quarterback. Magoo was a player that I sort of liked late in the process, got some buzz late in the process, was linked to the Patriots at one point, I do believe, but he goes to the Seattle Seahawks. And then finally, Logan Woodside, whom I loved, was my quarterback 8, he goes to the Cincinnati Bengals, the last quarterback drafted in the 2018 NFL draft. But with that first pick in the 7th round, the Patriots, they do address quarterback, and it's Danny Etlin from LSU. And this was one of those moments where I was glad that you do the work, that you have the notes on guys, because he didn't crack my top 20 quarterbacks that I ranked over at InsideThePylon.com, but I was able to pull out the binder that had him in it, that he was in, because I've got, I think, 5-6 binders just on this year's draft quarterbacks. But pull it out, find my notes on him. Strengths: operated in a run-heavy offense, a pro-style, quote-unquote, offense. Okay drops from center or in the shotgun. 3-step drops, better than 5-step drops, as 5-step drops tend to drift. Okay placement and velocity on most throws. Good on the move, throws well on the move, particularly when moving to his right. Shows good footwork in the pocket. He can make progression in full field reads. Good in scramble drill situations. Weaknesses on him, these were part of the reasons that I did not rank him that highly. Poor anticipation throws, more of a see-it, throw-it type quarterback. Has to see it come open. Many times the ball would come out late. Tends to lock on to wide receivers early in the play, particularly, and this is something that scared me, on third down and even third and long situations where he just knows he has to make a play but locks on to his primary read and doesn't move his eyes. Play speed can be poor at times. Accuracy does dip when he's pressured or he's forced to sort of speed up his process when he gets blitzed. Similarly, on those third down situations, like we talked about, he speeds it up by just locking on to the target and not really going through the full progression structure of the play. Mechanics, lower body mechanics can be a mess at times. There's a note on a throw to the flat against Southern Miss in 2016 where he just completely missed it. And so the things that I wanted to see improve were anticipation, accuracy, and sort of lower body mechanics. But I did think that a West Coast or an Art Perkins system were sort of schematic fits for him. And looking through some of my play notes, you know, this game against Arkansas in 2016, you know, the first play, the first note, under center, play action, pass, slash drop, has Z receiver on a stop or a hitch route. You pause it. You can tell that he needs to get the ball out on this play. He has to make an anticipation throw. He doesn't pull the trigger. It's open. For whatever reason, he doesn't pull the trigger. He doesn't make the anticipation throw. Comes to his tight end on a seam route. That's covered. Then he's forced to take the check down. And this is sort of, in a nutshell, where Danny Etlin is right now, I think, as a quarterback. Because if he makes that anticipation throw, gets that ball out when he should, offense has a chance for a good play. But he doesn't, then it gets himself into trouble and he's forced to take a check down. Now, when you're talking about a guy in the 7th round, okay, I can live with it. And you know, I think that perhaps because of people like me, you know, maybe I should take some blame here. You know, people expected the Patriots to address quarterback earlier than they needed to, and I did at times caution everybody that they could go a different direction. They could go the later round. That's why I kept talking about Logan Woodside. I was talking about Chad Knauf from Princeton as well, saying that they could even go the UDFA route because they do still have Brady. They obviously have Brian Hoyer. If they felt that they had to address other needs, they could have just waited and gone quarterback later in the draft. And that's what they did. Is Etlen a guy I'm super excited about right now? No. Are there things I think that could fit well with New England's offensive structure? Sure. Do I see potential in him? Yeah. So like all of these guys, we give it time. We see how it pans out. Would I have been more excited about a Kyle Loletta or, you know, a Logan Woodside even? Yeah. But I'm just a guy sitting in a chair in his dining room drinking Perrier. I'm not in the room. They obviously liked that. Then they had him in for a private workout. And so we see how it goes. We'll move on now, going through the rest of the Patriots draft. Some other players that the Patriots selected here. Keon Crossan, cornerback from Western Carolina, was their next pick. 25th pick in the 7th round, pick 243 overall. What do I know about him? Not much. And I got to be honest, we studied over 500 players for the ITP draft guide. We don't even have a report on this guy. So I'm sort of learning about him on the fly right here with. He was a 2-year starter at Western Carolina, made 67 tackles with 1 forced fumble, 7 pass breakups in 2017, had 61 tackles, 3 of them for a loss, and 7 passes broken up as a junior, combined to post 37 tackles during his first 2 years at Western Carolina. Small, undersized corner, 5'9.5", 173, ran a 4.4 40-yard dash. That must have been a pro day time, I believe. Pretty good change of direction skills, pretty good ball skills, as evidenced by the pass breakups. Some weaknesses on him, and I'm taking this from a report over at draftanalyst.com. Tony Pauline's group does some good work, so that's what I'm relied on here. You know, late to react to receivers' moves off the line, does not slow down opponents with jams at the line of scrimmage. You wonder about him and sort of that press man stuff we were talking about with Duke Dawson. Maybe they're looking at him as purely a slot guy or a nickel dime type corner. Prefers to side shuffle, rarely backpedals downfield, short, and struggles with taller receivers. And to that point I was just mentioning, Tony Pauline writes him up. He offers potential in dime packages and man off coverage and can serve on coverage units. So Keon Crossan, the other cornerback drafted by the New England Patriots, again in the 7th round. And finally, the last Patriots draft pick, Ryan Izzo, tight end, Florida State. And if you listened to one of the preview shows when I took you through the Patriots board, I mentioned Izzo as perhaps a 7th round option for the New England Patriots at the tight end position. More of a blocking type tight end. He can give you a little bit in the pass game as a receiver, but as I broke him down for you in that show, he's pretty much, you know, a tight end 3 goal line jumbo package type of guy right now. I mean, at ITP overall, we loved him. You know, he was tight end 9 for us. Tom Meade was the lead scout on that, described him as a tough, aggressive, and consistent blocker who can serve as a checkdown option but lacks the explosiveness, hands, and route running to carve out a bigger role in the passing game. But the main thing we liked was physical toughness and play strength as a run and pass blocker. Very good blocker who uses quickness, balance, and hand usage to lock in on one-on-one blocks and employs good play strength and leg drive to move his man on down and pin blocks. Also has the lateral quickness to execute zone blocks, getting his head across and controlling the defender. Scheme versatility in the run game. The Patriots use both zone as well as gap and power schemes. So you get that in a blocker in Ryan Izzo, their new tight end from Florida State. So there it is. There are your day 3 picks. I can sense, just from scrolling the timeline and some of the tweets that have been sent to me, as well as some of the texts and Facebook messages and etc., 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 there's some consternation out there in Patriots Nation. Matter of fact, one of my favorite listeners, you know, just a loyal listener. I really appreciate him. Jim Reynolds, who is at @studio_Jim on Twitter. He and I were chatting on Twitter coming into this day. You know, this will be the day. This will be the day we get a quarterback. You know, he tweets to me, you know, the 2019 quarterback class better have some studs in it. #Patriots, #too soon. And I'm going to drop some 2019 quarterback takes here in a second. But, you know, give Jim a follow. He's @studio_Jim on Twitter. But before I do that, folks, let's talk big picture. Let's talk holistic approach. Because, you know, Jim's not alone. There are people that are a little, shall we say, dicey. Frustrated right now, wondering why the Patriots did what they did. And, you know, I don't totally have an answer. I don't. I think that they clearly had an approach. They had some needs that they wanted to address at positions we thought they would address them. They had a need at quarterback. They addressed it. They had needs at linebacker. They addressed it. They had a need at wide receiver. They addressed it. Tight end. They addressed it. Thinking back to, you know, the first two rounds, again, they go corner, they go offensive tackle, they get a running back. I think it's important to not lose sight of the whole entirety of the offseason process. Remember, the draft is just one part of the offseason process. The Patriots have already made other additions. They bring in a Jordan Matthews, a Cordell Patterson to help bolster the, you know, the wide receiver room. You know, they make additions at running back. You know, they add Jeremy Hill from the Cincinnati Bengals. So they had an addition there. You know, they made the trade today, you know, for Trent Brown to bolster the, I mean, they made that Friday for Trent Brown to bolster the offensive line. They have additions in Adrian Claiborne and Danny Shelton up front. So they made some additions. They brought in Jason McCourty to help the defensive backfield. And then remember, they're getting guys back. They're getting Dont'a Hightower back from injury. They're getting Derek Rivers, you know, a third-round draft pick in last year's draft, who they liked, who really stood out at times, you know, in the pre-draft process, excuse me. They're getting him back on the edge. They're getting Antonio Garcia back, another third-round pick, to help bolster that offensive line. So I think when you put the draft in the more global context of the Patriots' offseason acquisitions and moves, I think you get a better sense of where this team is right now. You know, and part of the draft is a double-edged sword. You know, it's a fantastic thing for people like me because we get to talk about players and prospects and evaluations and scouting reports for really a year. You know, because the 2019 stuff is going to drop immediately. There will be mock drafts. Probably if they're not up now or by the time you listen to this, they'll be up by Monday. I've already started my quarterback work. I will have videos out on the next guys in the next couple of days. And as I said, I'm going to tease some 2019 takes in the next couple of minutes. But it builds up a sense of, you know, it builds up in people's minds, in fans' minds, in listeners' minds, readers' minds, sort of the sense of importance of the draft. So we build up this year-long process to the draft and people get so caught up in it that sometimes when you don't hear players drafted or the team doesn't make the picks that you expected, you start to wonder what's going on. And as a member of the draft industrial complex myself, I'm as guilty of it as anybody. You know, but I think what it's important now to sort of take a step back and realize that as a whole, they have improved the roster at a number of positions of need throughout the entire offseason process. You know, and when, you know, people sit here and they talk about Kyle Lauletta or they talk about, you know, guys like Mike Gesicki at tight end or, you know, a Sam Hubbard at the edge or Marcus Davenport at the edge or, you know, Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle, or Nathan Shepard, or, you know, name any other position that we spent time talking about. We get excited, but the organization goes in a different direction. The board falls in a different way. And they ultimately have more information than we do. They meet with these guys. They have access to medical records, coaching interviews, family interviews, one-on-one interviews. They ultimately have more information. Do they get it right all the time? No. Do we get it right all the time? No. No. But that's what makes it fun. And it is supposed to be fun. And I hope you enjoyed following along with me through this entire roller coaster ride of the draft itself. And that's kind of where I want to close, which is a thank you, you know, to all of you, you know. And I said this on Twitter on Thursday. Again, follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. But I get to do this for a living. You know, I walked away from being a lawyer because it just wasn't for me. It was driving me insane. And now I get to write and talk about football for a living. And I remember, you know, back before I even made the career switch, you know, in some of those dark moments when I was practicing as a lawyer, think, man, I would love to be able to just write about football or talk about football. That would just be the dream job for me, because that's what gets me excited. Trying a case doesn't excite me. Taking a deposition doesn't excite me. And getting yelled at by partners certainly didn't excite me. Talking about football always did. And now I get to do it. I get to do it on a daily basis. I get to do it on, you know, 70, 80 hours a week. And it barely feels like a job anymore, because it's just fun to talk to all of you and to interact with all of you. And the reason I get to do it is in large part because of you, because of your listens, your clicks on articles, the interactions with you. You guys have welcomed me, you know, into your commutes or your daily jobs, your offices, your cars, your rides home. You've let me in. And because of that, I can't thank you guys enough. It's been a blast this entire season, you know, covering a team into a Super Bowl and now covering the draft with you all. It's been just a fantastic ride. I cannot thank you all enough. You guys make this dream of mine possible. So from the bottom of my heart, sincerely, thank you all. Now, I'll leave you with this. Some early 2019 quarterback takes. Ryan Finley is who we thought Mason Rudolph was. Jake Browning will have some arm strength concerns, but I think there's a developmental quarterback inside of him, if not more. Drew Locke has shown strides. He was a better passer last year than the year before that. Will Greer is something to watch. DeAndre Francis is as tough as it gets at the quarterback position. Brett Rippon, also a name to watch. Those are some early 2019 cakes. There are a lot more guys that I'm going to watch that I already have watched. There's going to be a lot more work done on all of these guys. There will be names that we don't know right now that rise. But it's going to be fun. And the road to the 2019 draft begins now. But that will do it for today's show. I will be back tomorrow, I think. If not Monday, probably Monday. I need a day. I'll be back Monday with a full recap of a more global approach of the draft, who I think had good drafts, who I think, you know, maybe missed on a couple of picks. Then we'll get into some guests. We will go 5 shows next week. And then, look, as we get into May, I'll probably scale things back a bit until we get a little bit closer to, you know, training camp and stuff like that. But I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me, kids. Until next time, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.